Praise God. Yesterday we started looking into follow-up. And it, not when Brother Bismarck was praying, he wrote a scripture which says that God added to the church daily such as should be saved. And when he was praying along that line, he made a declaration that God, that we are diligent enough, we're diligent enough to retain everyone that God is adding to us. That's the understanding, that as God brings in the people, we, through our diligence, are supposed to ensure that the people remain. So which means, when the people come and they don't remain, it is not a God problem. It is our problem. Because God gives them to us, believing that we are diligent enough, we will be diligent enough to keep them, to retain them, to ensure that they remain. And yesterday I was sharing with you, I told you that when the people come and we're following them up, the success of our follow-up is actually determined by us, not by the people that we're following up. So which means we don't have any excuse, no matter how the people respond to us, no matter how they, whatever they do to us, we don't have any excuse to come back and say that we have not been successful or blame them for our failure. Because if God brought them in the first place, God knows what he has equipped us with. God knows all that he has given to us. God couldn't just have brought them in for sightseeing. The Bible says he added to the church daily such as should be saved. So which means God expects for them to come to us, to learn from us, to be nurtured by us, to be raised by us, until they be like us, they become like us, and start doing the things that we have also gotten to doing by our maturity in the Word. So we have a responsibility in the body of Christ, every one of us. More especially those of you now sitting here and you're listening as leaders in church, you come to understand that you have a responsibility, a great responsibility. To whom much is given, much is expected. And so we're learning this thing, like I said yesterday, mostly not because we have not heard them before, but because even in the scripture, there is that place of reminder. The Holy Spirit reminds us again the things that he has taught us before, so that it can come to our consciousness. We'll continue to do them. It becomes something that we're conscious of, something that we know, we are aware of, something that we function by daily. You know, you can have a thing and because you're not conscious of that thing, you might not be able to take advantage of it the time you need it. I'm sure there are a couple of you, if it has ever happened to you, you needed some money to do something. Maybe at home, you needed to buy some breakfast or something. And you looked around, there was no cash at home. And so you couldn't buy what you wanted to buy. Only this day you took up a shirt to wear and there was miracle money inside. But you see, that miracle money didn't fly into your pocket. Maybe you had put it there. You knew you had put it there, but because you were not aware that you had it, you couldn't take advantage of the presence of that money with you. So the same thing, when you are not aware of what you have, you will not be able to take advantage of it. And so God is seeing us this thing, or reminding us of this thing, so that we'll know, becomes our daily consciousness. So we're able to take advantage of them and retain everyone that God is bringing to us. Like Jesus says, when he was praying, that all that God gave to him, he did not lose any of them. And we are not going to lose anyone that God brings to us. Amen. So we talked about follow-up. And we said that follow-up is a process of establishing someone is in his newfound faith, or in a nutshell, the process of making one a disciple. In that the primary goal, the primary purpose for follow-up is to make the person you are following up a disciple. And that Jesus wants us, like he told us in Matthew 28:19-20, that we should go all around the world, all nations, and make disciples of all nations. And we define disciple as the one who is following his master's footsteps. Following his master's footsteps. So Jesus Christ is our overall master. So we are following his footsteps. Jesus didn't ask us to do what he didn't do. So we saw how Jesus Christ preached and how he followed up the people that he preached. Jesus did a follow-up. He did visitation. So we saw how Jesus Christ lived and moved sometimes from house to house, visiting with people, preaching the gospel to them. And we saw also how the apostles followed the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. So today we are following the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. But apart from all that too, there are leaders that God has also set ahead of us that are teaching us today that we're also learning from. We're following their footsteps. See, pastor is our master, is our pastor today. He is the one, our apostle, the one that we are following. You know, he does a lot of follow-up. Exactly. He does a lot of follow-up. That's what he rhapsody does for us every day. He's following us up. That's why he communes with us, or he brings us to a place of communion once every month to follow us up, to ensure that we are there to hear from him all the time. That's what he has done with all the program that he's organizing for all his members, for all his pastors, so that we can all come together. He sees us. He inquires from us how we are doing. So in the same way, it trickles down to every one of us that when God brings people to us, we must know their state. We must be able to follow them up, nurture them, grow them. See, I told you yesterday that a follow-up process is not ended until somebody starts doing what you're doing. So there is different level. Somebody could get born again today. You come to the level of maybe being consistent in the cell, being a Bible study class teacher, being a cell leader, being a fellowship leader, being a pastor. Even at that point in time, there's still a follow-up by the leaders to upgrade. Follow-up upgrades you. It always brings you to the level of the master. You're following the master's footsteps. You want to be like him. And so you understand that if you're raising up people to be like you, you also must be upgrading yourself. Is it not true? Yes, you upgrade yourself. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ, like I read to us yesterday, told us that for you to be a true disciple indeed, he said you must continue in his word. You continue in his word. And secondly, we mentioned three things yesterday. Number one, we said you continue in his word. That's what Lord Jesus Christ says. Number two, you love. You must learn to love one another. So when you love one another, then you are my true disciple. By this shall all men know that you are my disciple. So it becomes very easy for us to show the people that we are following up how to live, the kind of life that God has given to us. And when people come in and they discover that there's so much love amongst us, it becomes very easy for us to follow them up. Much of the work is done because everyone needs to be loved. Praise God. And the third one? No, not relationship. You are mixing them up now. Huh? you must bear fruit. You must bear fruit. You have to bear fruit. And so when you look at the three, you discover that they are actually related. The first one is that you follow. You must continue in his word. The second one, love. The third one, the first. Open your mouth and say, the first one. Continue in his word. Say, continue in the word of God. Number one. Number two. Number three. Bear fruit. Amen. You see, when you continue in the word of God, the word of God teaches us how to love. The word of God makes us understand that we are born of love. We are products of love. The word of God teaches us that God has already poured out his love in our hearts. So through the word of God, we come to understand what true love is and how to function and relate in that love. So the word of God brings us into a place where we become aware, or we have become conscious of the love of God that has been shared abroad in our hearts. And when you learn to love, when you learn to practice love, when you now start living by love, you are actually living by the word of God. Jesus Christ says, if you love me, you will do what? You will keep my word. So which means loving God helps you to continue in his word. Amen? And the third one about bearing fruit. Jesus Christ makes us understand. He says, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, what will you do? You will bear fruit. So we discover that the three of them are actually intertwined. They are actually in one. They relate with one another. So God wants us to continue in the word that he has given to us. He wants us to manifest love in everything that we do. So when people come in, you know, I told you that we should not just be more concerned about our membership in church. That is important. It's beautiful that we increase. God wants us to increase. But God wants us to be first and foremost more caring for the people that he's bringing to us, loving them, letting them all understand the place that they have come to. We must express the love of God to them. So I'm following you up. Should not be that I'm always asking, why were you not in church yesterday? Why were you not in church on Sunday? Why are you not coming to church again? Why are you not this? Find out. Be caring enough to really find out what the person is going through. Let the person know that you are concerned about his health. You're concerned about his family. You're concerned about his business. You're concerned about his welfare. When somebody discovers that you are genuinely concerned about him, he will genuinely follow you. Amen? That's the way it is. The reason we love God today is because we discovered that he loved us first. The Bible says that we love him because he first loved us. So we've discovered that he genuinely loved us. For God to love the world that he gave his only begotten son. So we are ready to also pour our hearts unto him. That's why Paul said that we're constrained, we're compelled by his love to do the thing that we're doing. Why? Because we discovered that he first loved us. So there's nothing that we can do today that we don't have a reason for doing, because he has already loved us. He's poured out himself for us. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we talked about the three vital elements that will help you to succeed every time we follow up. That's when we talked about number one, number two, and number three, relationship. Knowledge, temperance, and relationship. Being able to hold yourself back, temperance. See, knowledge of God's word. Knowledge of the person that you're following up. Knowledge of yourself. Knowledge of your relationship with God and relationship with the person that you're following up. What does God expect of you? When you know, you get better. And like I said, when you're following somebody up, and you know that you're following somebody up, you upgrade yourself so that at every point in time, if the person has any question to ask, you'll always be in the position to answer the question. That doesn't mean in any sense that you must know the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation before you start following up. No. But you see, when you discover that when you are following somebody up, you get to know, you know, you are brought into the place where you get to know the person more. But the knowledge of God's word must be paramount in your life, because that's exactly what you have to give to somebody else to be able to nurture the person, to bring up the person to the level that you are presently. Knowledge of God's word, very vital. That's why scripture says you study to know. So you become a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Praise God. So in your search for knowledge, for God's word, you ensure that you are in church all the time. Because as you're following somebody up, he is also looking at you. Because I said that you learn by precept, by instruction, and by observation. Everything is coming in threes. Praise God. Okay. So knowledge, temperance, being able to hold yourself back. Being able to hold, because sometimes you're following somebody else, this person may do things that will anger you, that will make you furious, that make you angry, but you see, you should be able to control your temper. You should be able to control your emotions. Don't ever allow anything to discourage you. Never allow it. The Bible says that we should let the same kind of mind that was in the Lord Jesus Christ to be in us. See, although he was with God, he did not take equality with God as something that he had to take by force. But he humbled himself to the death of the cross. So let the same attitude be in you. So in our following up other people, we must be humble enough that whatsoever they throw at us, we just take it as though nothing happened. Amen? Yes, they may want to insult you. They may abuse you. You're at the initial state. Don't blame them. It's a state that they are in now. So we're not looking at who they are now. We're looking at who God has made them to be. So we want to bring them out from where they are and establish them where God has already planned for them. So don't just, you know, like Jesus Christ says, say, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. So the same attitude should be with us. So whatever thing that they do to us, we should go with that mindset that they don't know what they are doing. That's why they are doing what they're doing. That's why they are saying what they are saying. That's why they are treating me like this. But you must not give up on anyone. Don't give up on anyone. You know, sometimes you may look at your life and discover that if somebody had given up on you at one time when you were also maybe rude at one time or unruly or abusive or somebody, you know, you wouldn't have been here today. But somebody must have followed you up, must have prayed for you, must have ensured that he was consistent in ensuring that he brings you to the place that God wants you to be. Now you're here today. Now you're being taught and you're being reminded to be able to also bring somebody else into the kingdom of Christ. Praise God. So temperance, the ability to hold your emotions, not to be easily angered or discouraged or distracted. And we also talked about relationship, very vital relationship. You must have a very good relationship with people. Build a relationship, establish a relationship. So when you get somebody that you want to follow up, get to know the person, get to be friendly with the person, let the person get to know you. Establish friendship. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Establish friendship. Make a friend with the person. Because it's the Christ in you that you want to get formed in that person. And so when that relationship is established, you know, the transference or the transmission of that life that is in you becomes seamless. You know, it just flows without any hindrance. So relationship is vital. As God brings people to the church, get to know them. Get to love them, whoever they are. And especially when somebody is given to you to follow up. Don't see that person as a number. Don't see that person as a name. See that person as the life of Christ. So you get to know that person. Don't wait until the other service day. Then you suddenly remember, oh, I was given a name last Sunday to follow up. And today is Saturday. Before you start flipping through. And you now start calling. And on Sunday, you had introduced yourself. Now on Saturday, you are reintroducing yourself. Oh, don't you remember? Don't you remember that guy that pastor said, I should follow you. Don't you remember? My name is... No, it shouldn't be like that. Get to know the person. Know the person by name. Start addressing the person by name. Have a walk with the person immediately. Maybe if you have to walk together to the bus stop, okay. If you have to walk together to your car, okay. Call the person by name two or three times. Address the person by name. Establish a discussion. Maybe a discussion that you can even continue the next time that you're going to talk. Be lively. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, God has filled us with so much of his life. Read the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, the same kind of life that we have. A lively personality. So full of life. Wherever Jesus went, there was life. So the same thing with you. Persons should come in contact with you and come in contact with life. With enthusiasm, with exuberance, with joyfulness. Somebody should come in contact with you once or twice and desire to be with you again. So when you say the person switch up his phone, the question is, the first contact, how was it like? Or the second one, or the third one, when the person now starts switching off his phone, or he doesn't even switch off his phone, he just let his phone ring off, just ring out. I say, Pastor, he's no longer picking my phone. I ask yourself, what did I do? You go home and say, what did I do wrong? Father, show me what I did wrong to make this person not want to see me anymore. Praise God. But you see, there's a way you can present yourself that the person will be the one that will be calling you all the time. Is it not true? Exactly. He's the one that will be calling you all the time. And when you learn these things that God is teaching us daily, you discover that it's very easy for you to get to know a person, establish that relationship, and the person will always want to meet with you, will always want to look forward to seeing you again and again. That's the way it's supposed to be. Remember that you are the light of the world. Amen? You are the light, you are the salt of the earth. That's what the scripture says, and that's who you are. You bring life, you bring joy, you bring happiness to people. Praise God. Okay, so today we'll learn some few things. Okay, there was this aspect of it that I wanted to share yesterday, but time didn't quite allow us. And that's, let's look at Philemon chapter 1. Philemon 1:6. Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. Can we read it together? So that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That the communication of your faith, your lifestyle of faith, becomes effectual, becomes productive, bearing fruits. That's what he's talking about. He said, but for it to bear fruit, because God wants us to bear fruit, and he has given us everything that for us to bear fruit with, he said, but you must learn to acknowledge every good thing that is in you. Get to know yourself. Get to know who you are. Get to know what God has given to you. So everything that we need, God has already given to us, but you have to get to know what you have. That's why I talked about being aware. You being aware of all the things that God has given to you so that you become effective in your communication, in your ministry, in your relationship with people. So some of those things that God has given us, a lot of beautiful things that he has put in the inside of us that you get to know and function with and become very, very effective. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Can you reduce the gain of this microphone? Last time I asked you to reduce the gain, you did, and you got a good result. I didn't have to tell you that again today. Don't let me tell you that again tomorrow. That board is graduated. It's written 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Is it not? So wherever the mark is, mark it. Go and write it down. Number 6. Matthew chapter 5. Can you read it? Want to go? Say, I'm the light of the world. Say it again. You're the light of the world. So when you get to know that you are the light of the world, there's a confidence it gives to you. You're following somebody up. You know that you are the light of the world. You're going to show that person how to live. There's a kind of courage that you go with. See, when you really know you are the light of the world, okay, for instance, how would you feel if you had $1 million in the bank? It's your own. You know it's your own. You have it. And this day you are walking in the street and somebody says, "See this poor man," you'll be angry? You don't bother about such things. The guy doesn't know you. Praise God. I'm sure you will even laugh. Say, "I know who I am." Say, "You are the light of the world." So why would somebody ever, you're following somebody up and the person insults you, so you don't know anything and you get angry? It's because you don't really know you're the light of the world. Because if you knew you were the light of the world, you would laugh over that. So when they called Jesus a Beelzebub, he didn't pull his shirt, say, "I must fight over this today." Say, "I'm the light of the world." Say one more time. So in my following somebody up, I am conscious of that fact that I'm the light of the world. So I'm here to make your life better, to make your life brighter, to shine brighter. The words that I'm bringing to you is to make your life better. So even if it's a word that you've heard again and again and again, it doesn't really matter. As long as it's coming from me to you now, it's having an impact in your life. Jesus Christ says, he said, "You are cleansed by the word that I spoke to you." Can you imagine? He said, "The words that I'm speaking to you is cleansing you." The same way we ought to talk. So when we sit down and we're discussing with the person, understand that every word that's coming out of your mouth at that time, as long as you are continuing in his word, is having an impact in a person's life. That's what follow-up does. That's why when you follow somebody up, you upgrade the person's life. You take the person from the state that he is and you bring him to the state that you are. He comes into the same light with you. Praise God. John said that we are inviting you to come have fellowship with us. So because our fellowship is with the Father. A great invitation. Also, that's the same invitation we're carrying to people, the one that we're following up. They may not understand that, but we're letting them understand that we have a great fellowship with the Father. God has brought us into a great fellowship with the Father. So we're saying, come into our fellowship. Come fellowship with us. Because we have fellowship with the Father. That's why he said, if you are in the light as he is in the light, so I am in the light. If I'm following you up, I'm bringing you into the light that I am in. So in that light, the Bible said there is no darkness at all. Why? Because the blood of Christ cleanses us from every kind of unrighteousness. The word of God perfects us, establishes us, makes us better. So we're able to endure all the things that God has for us. Oh, hallelujah. So you carry something that the world needs. So as they come to us, God is bringing them to us because he knows that you are going to light up their lives. Praise God. I am the light of the world. It's a city that is set upon a hill. A city that is set upon a hill. He said it cannot be hidden. So you cannot be hidden. Don't try to hide yourself. Huh? Don't try to hide yourself. Don't come to church and try to hide. If God says you cannot be hidden, why are you trying to hide yourself? Be confident and bold. The truth is that when you get to know these things, the confidence will come. Yeah, we're talking about the things that you know that will bring in the confidence for you to do the work that God wants you to do. The confidence will come. If you really get to know that you are the light of the world, you are the salt of the earth, that God has equipped you with all that you need to make a success of this calling. Praise God. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. We'll read verses 8 to 10. Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Are we there? Can we read together? One to go. Verse 9. Verse 10. Hallelujah. So we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So God created you to do good works. To transform the lives of people. To bring light to the lives of people. To bring life to people. To transform their lives. That's the good works that he has called us into. You see, that's the purpose for which God created you. So which means God already has confidence in you. God, the Bible said that everything that comes from God is good and perfect. So if God created you, the Bible said that we are fearfully and wonderfully, perfectly made. So God has certified you to be able to do all the things that he expects you to do. Exactly. So that's why he sent you out. If God had looked at your life and discovered that you were inferior to what he wanted, you wouldn't have come. Do you understand that? Yes. Because no good manufacturer will produce a product, test it, and discover that it's not good enough to the standard that he wants, and he will still put it in the market. He's destroying his name. Exactly. So, God saw you fit enough, qualified enough, equipped enough before he sent you. You can't fail. It's not possible to fail. The only area where failure comes is when you fail in yourself. You have failed yourself. You have resisted the work of God, the power of God from working in you. But God is saying, no, I created you and I sent you out. That's what Lord Jesus Christ said. He said, you didn't choose me. He said, I chose you and I ordained you to bear fruits. And your fruits should remain. And that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name will be done. You proclaim it. Why? Because you're functioning. You know, you've come to that place where you're functioning in that leadership position that God has put you. Yes. So when it comes to talking to God now, you go for directors' meetings. God calls you in. This is the meeting with the managing director. So he's calling all the other directors so that they will have meeting on how to push these things forward. You no longer see yourself as a messenger. No. Praise God. You are made to produce good results, good works, works that last. So every soul that comes into your hand is soul that is established. Let this be your mentality. Every soul that I meet is soul that is already established. Let you be known for that, that anybody that is given to you is already established. Let your pastor know you for that. Once I give a soul to judge, my heart is at rest, knowing that that soul is established. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let it be like that. Let it be like that. But after you have been given so, and pastor is now saying, come and give reports. And you're looking for how to, concur your report or conjure your report or, fine tune it or something. Maybe you have lost that soul. You are not going to bring another soul to replace. No, we are not looking for a replacement. The one that was given to you is the one that is needed by God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what? It's important. You see, this is our life. This is life that we're in. The Bible said that God stands in the congregation of the mighty. That's what he's doing now. God sees you as the mighty. He's in your congregation and he's telling you who you are, who he's made you to be. You see, we are in God's world. And we are the people that God has to manage this world. The Bible said that all souls are mine. That's what Lord Jesus Christ, that's what God said in scriptures. All souls are mine. And we are the one that he has put in place to manage the salvation of these souls, the retention of these souls, the upliftment, the nurturing of these souls. So we put ourselves in place to ensure that everyone that is given to us. But the beautiful thing here is that God has equipped you and he has empowered you to make a success of it. Praise God. Say, I am a success. Say it again, I am a success. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll read verses 16 and 17. Can we read it together? So all scripture. So when I'm now going, I know that as long as I have the scripture, I have everything that I require to teach, to reprove, to correct, to instruct in righteousness. Amen? Amen. You have all that it takes. So no matter what that person you're following up, no matter what the need is, you have what it takes to help him. The scripture has been given to us. As long as you have the word of God, you know, sometimes we get concerns, okay, but well, what if I go and the person asks me a difficult question? It's easy. Jesus Christ says, when you're going, don't even think of what you're going to say. He said, the moment you open your mouth, I will, what an assurance. He said, the moment you open your mouth, he said, I will put words. You see, there have been times, sometimes, I answer a question, I answer a question to go back and find out that I was correct. Yes. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't study. First of all, you continue the word. don't say, because it's like that, it's very easy. So, no, first of all, you understand that he said you must continue this word. Amen? Exactly. But you see, when he is faithful in the little, he is faithful in much. When God sees your determination to want to excel, he will help you to excel. Praise God. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Okay, let's read verse 17. We read verse 17. It says that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly equipped unto all good works. So the scripture equips you. The scripture empowers you. The scripture matures you. And the scripture equips you. The scripture empowers you, matures you, and equips you. So all the tools that you need to make to become an effective disciple, they're all in the scriptures. Then Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing sun of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hallelujah. Amen.
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 Say, all that I need,
all that I need
is the word of God.
Oh,
that's all that you need. You see, the Bible, first of all, makes us understand that no one knows the things of a man except the spirit that is inside that man. I may come for visitation. Until you speak to me, I may not know everything that you're going through, all the things that you're concerned with, all the things that I need to address. But you see, I have the word of God. The Bible said that this word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So because I have the word of God, that word of God is intelligent enough to go into your mind, into your spirit, into your soul, and discern your very intent, the foundations of your thoughts. So why should I be bothered? You know, I'm sure you've heard a lot of testimonies concerning Rhapsody. People say, I just took up the Rhapsody. It was as though it was addressing what I wanted to hear that day. Have you heard something like that?
Yes.
Has it ever happened to you?
Yes.
That's the power of God's word. That's the power of God's word. You see, it's living and active like two-edged sword, more than two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word is intelligent enough to address every situation. So as long as you have it, you are made. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So when you're going, don't be thinking, what am I going to say? How am I going to address it? What are they going to say to me? What if they ask questions? No, leave all those ones for the Spirit. You go because God has sent you. And you come back with a testimony. So I always come back with a testimony. Then let's quickly look at Luke chapter 4, verse 17. We're reading from 17 to 21. Bible said here Jesus Christ comes into the temple, and it was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. This is your calling. This is your calling. Hallelujah. Say, "This is my calling." So he has sent you to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. It's the same ministry. The Bible said that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And now he has given unto us the same ministry of reconciliation. Building lives. Building lives. So when you get to know, I said you have to know what you have. When you know what you have, it gives you the confidence to operate, to function. Here you know that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. It's now in the inside of you. Dwells in the inside of you. You live by the Spirit of God. See, we talked about you having the Word of God with you. Now we're talking about you having the Spirit of God with you. So now the two major elements, power, God's own power that will make you whatever you want to be. So when you're going, you know that you have the Word, you have the Spirit. So because this Spirit is in you, and you have been anointed by the power of the Spirit. So when you meet the poor, you address their poverty. Praise God. So whatever the situation is, you have the Word, you have the Spirit. Say, "I have the Word, and I have the Spirit." I have the Word, and I have the Spirit. So when you get to know what you have, you make a success. You see, when you, it is God that has sent us on this errand. We are his messenger. Hello. We're God's messenger. And the power of a messenger is the message. Huh? Yes, the power of a messenger is the message that he carries. The authority of the messenger is the message that he carries. It is the one that sent you the message. It is how powerful and how authoritative that person is that will determine how powerful you are. Because the message now connects both of you. And the message has the ability to do whatever the one who orchestrated it. Huh? Whatever thing that he desires the message to do, the message has the ability to do it. So your responsibility is not to consider, okay, for instance, I always ask, like I always said, if the president of this nation gives you a letter to one, whoever, wherever he is in Ghana, he says, "I want to see you by 12 noon tomorrow," and you carry the message, will you be wondering how you carry that man there? The message has the ability to lift that man from wherever he is to go to castle tomorrow. That's what the message of God does. So when you carry this message, no matter how poor that man is, the message has the ability to lift him from poverty. The Bible says that he has the ability. He lifts a man from the dust, a poor man from the dust, and he lifts a beggar from the dunghill, and he puts them. That's the power of God's message. And that's the power that you have. Say, "That's the power that I have." Say it again. "That's the power that I have." Hallelujah. So you go and deliver the message with the power of the Holy Spirit, and you get the same results. Always getting the same results. So quickly we run through visitation, because there cannot be follow-up without visitation. We know that there are a lot of areas or things that we use today to follow up. But you see, the very fundamental instrument that we have for effective follow-up is visitation. Say visitation. Let's look at Luke chapter 10, verse 5. Luke 10:5. Read together, I want to go. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, let's read 6. Okay, so which means, first of all, Christ is actually asking us that he has given the authority to enter into different houses. Eh? You see, but we are not just going into these houses empty-handed. It lets us all understand that you carry peace with you. Carry peace with you. He said, and whichever house you enter, any house you enter, any house at all that you enter, he said, first of all, you just say, peace be into this place. The moment you say it, it now depends on the person whether he is a product of peace. He's a man of peace. So if he's a man of peace, then he'll receive the peace from you. So, but if he doesn't receive it from you, he said, as you're going, you carry your peace along. Can you imagine? So wherever I go, I carry peace with me. Carry peace with me. So you enter into a house and maybe the lady is complaining of how chaotic the family has been. Say, relax, I brought peace here. I'm loaded with peace. And I will deposit some with you before I go. Praise God. It's good to know what you have. Amen?
Amen.
It's good to know. It's good to know. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we see that visitation is a vital, vital part of follow-up. And don't ever see visitation as just a time to socialize. We don't go for visitation and we go just watching football, talking politics, talking about social things and all that. When we're talking about the visitation in the context of evangelism. You understand what I'm saying? Exactly. Because there could also be all the visitation. But see, when you really become a child, you discover that every visitation that you make should really be a visitation of impartation. He said you carry something in the inside of you. So even if it were a social gathering, you cannot just meet somebody and leave the person the same way that you met with the person. No, there's something about you that can always change somebody else's life. But here now we're looking at you being sent, or you now going to follow up somebody that you want to get established in church, get established in the kingdom of Christ. So don't just go there and you're talking and talking. It is good for you to respect the person, respect the person's or likes, respect the person's moments of recreation, whatever it is. Sometimes you may visit somebody and discover that the person is watching TV, watching football. Praise God. Don't go and say, switch it off. No, don't talk like that. Don't say, brother, switch it off. Switch it off. I'm here for important thing. That may be the last day you ever go to the house. Praise God. But we are smart people. Yes, we're smart people. You could watch the TV, but in the process of watching the TV, watching the football, you know why you are there. Yes. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ when he met the woman, or the woman met him at the well, and Jesus Christ knew what he wanted to do with the woman. So the first thing he said, give me some water to drink, and they now came into discussion. He was talking about because the woman came because of water. Exactly. So he just flowed along with the woman and was able to catch the woman's attention to be able to give to the woman what he had already ordained to give. The same thing. Remember, I said that relationship is important. So in getting to meet with people, you get to know what they like. It is very easy to flow with somebody when you get to like what he likes. Paul says, I became all things to all men that I may win some. So, if during your visitation you discover that the person is having some kind of recreation, even if you don't really like it, find out, I don't really like football. But what would you really see in football? So let me, which team is this? Which team, who is winning? Who is it? And in that discussion, you are able to. And you can say, but you see, life is actually like football. Then from there, you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit will always lead you on how to. So he wants to listen to you. Why? Because you are now addressing what Jesus Christ did from the perspective of football. Exactly. So you have the Spirit of God. He will always let you know what to do. But don't be carried away. Don't let him win you over instead of you winning him over. Praise God. Say, I have the spirit of excellence. Say one more time. You have the spirit of excellence. So let your visitation always impact the life of the person with your spiritual blessings. Amen. Let's look at Acts chapter 5, verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, the Bible said, they ceased not to teach and to preach Christ Jesus. They do it, or they did it in the temple, and they did it in the houses. So the same thing that we're saying now, not limited to the church. So we carry the same thing to the houses. Amen? Amen? Through visitation. Let's look at Acts chapter 20. We'll read verses 18 to 20. And when they were come to him, they said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. Paul talking here now, verse 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying wait of the Jews. And verse 20 says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. So we are not doing, when we say we'll go for visitation, we are not just doing it because we just want to do it. No, this what we have seen that have been passed on to us. It's our culture. So it's our culture. So we've discovered that's what obtains in this kingdom. Praise God. So we also carry the same message from house to house. We teach them until they get established in the kingdom. So visitation helps us to feel one's yearning for attention, association, affection, and recognition. So people want affection. There are a lot of people that want friendship, they want acceptance. So we're living, the world is growing so fast these days that because of technology, it's almost as though people are there and they are not there. Have you noticed? Yes. I was listening to news yesterday, BBC, they were saying that in England, they were saying that a very high percentage of the young ladies are becoming very unhappy. And he said that it has been a growing trend. So which means they've been looking at it from year to year. It's been a growing trend. A lot of ladies, they specifically said ladies. And they wanted to know why. What is the problem? He said that because they discovered that they are now being led by what they read on the social networks. So because they are always on the social networks, they are always seeing images that are not really, they are not in this world. So their aspiration to be like what they are seeing or what they are saying or what people are saying about them is making them unhappy. And they said that the trend is growing. So which means in another 10 years, they will have a country of unhappy people. But you see, technology is supposed to make things better, but it's actually making things worse. You see, no human solution can ever be perfect. That's why the only thing that man needs to live a perfect life, a good life, a glorious life, a joyous life, is the word of God, the life of Christ, and that's what you have. Praise God. Praise God. So men are now living in more of isolation. Like I told you yesterday, you see, Jesus Christ says, when you visit those that are in prison, I said, look, it's not just about the physical prison. There are people who may be looking as though they are free. They are walking your streets, but they are imprisoned. A lot of people have been imprisoned into the internet by the internet. Imprisoned. Because that's the only place they have friendship. You understand what I'm saying? It's true. Most young people, that's the only place they have friendship. They have virtual friends. People that are telling them good things, you know, giving them false hopes and all of that. And they're excited. Only for them to wake up and discover that, oh, I'm still here. Oh, then they go back. You are there in your family, you are talking, your girl is doing...
Praise God.
But you have what it takes to change all of that. To bring somebody into the kingdom of Christ. To get them established. Oh, hallelujah. See how joyful, you know, think about it. Whenever you come to church, or whenever you read the scriptures, or whenever you're praising God, whenever you're working and the word of God comes into your heart, see the joy that flows through you. The Bible calls it joy unspeakable and full of glory. Full of glory. Full of glory. That also brings me to another statistics that they compiled, I think about 2 or 3 years ago. They judged Nigeria as the happiest country or the happiest people. This was scientific, whatever. And they wanted to know why. Because they know that Nigeria is not the richest country. And when they went to Lagos, they saw, as far as they were concerned, they saw a lot of poverty. And they wonder, how can such people be in this kind of squalor and they still be happy? They were wondering. And one of the things that they deduced was their happiness was that they were filled with a lot of churches. Praise God. So there's something about that. There's something about the life of God. So which means true joy and happiness does not really come in the abundance of things that a man has. There's a place in the heart of a man that when God is not there, no matter what you have, you're useless. But you see, they will not know until you make them know. So somebody comes to church one time, and he gets excited, he goes back. As he's going back to his own life or to his old life. But because there is no follow-up to let him know what he has received, the place that he has come to, he may just go, and before you know it, he's lost and lost forever. Like the scripture said yesterday, Satan comes immediately after the word of God had come. So you have a responsibility. Say, I have a responsibility. Say one more time, I have a responsibility. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. So visitation helps to establish relationship. Discover that when you learn to visit with people, before you know it, you're making friends with the person. You're establishing a relationship with the person. And you, like I said before, when you are able to establish that relationship, follow-up becomes very easy. Somebody you have a good or cordial relationship with, a love relationship with, you know, the love of Christ. The person will not see your phone call and will not want to call back. No. So who do we visit? You'll run through. Number one, first-timers and new converts. First-timers and new converts. Number two, those who have not been fully integrated into the cell system. They've been old in church. They come to church, but they are not fully integrated into the cell system. They don't come for cell meetings. They need visitation. Are you hearing me? Yeah. So when you discover that some people are not in cell, get to know them more. Find out and educate them the reason why they should be in cell. It could be maybe there's no cell within where they live or where they work and all that. You teach them to let them understand that they can even start a cell on their own, depending on how mature they are in the things of God. Amen? Teach them. Then number three, members that have ceased coming to church. You know, some people, they because of one thing or the other, you might not see them in church. They just, on Sunday, just sit at home and watch TV. They are still Christians. They would rather want to follow the pastor on TV. So you get to visit such people also. Then number four, some Christians or members or brethren that may have challenges. That brethren that may have health challenge, have financial challenge, they have maybe relational or family kind of challenges. Get to visit them, encourage them, inspire them, motivate them, pray with them. Each other very important. Don't wait until somebody has a problem before you know, okay, this one is due for visitation. No, let us another. Are you hearing me? It's very important. That's what fellowship is. I know people, we are so busy today that it's always very difficult for you to have time for yourself. We see, create it. Once in a while, call a brother, call a sister, we'll visit with you today. We're coming to have fellowship with you today. Take a brother or take a sister out for lunch. Organize a dinner and call your brothers and sisters. You don't like it? But that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to be. You see, when we actually learn to do that, then sometimes it's okay, but we're always coming to church all the time. You see, the things you can do at home is different from the things that you do in church. It's only maybe once in a while that we say, okay, we have dinner in church, but we don't really enjoy it. Because the way you will crack the bone in church is not the same way you would have cracked it at home. Sometimes just organize a little barbecue session in your home. Call some friends. Call some brothers and sisters. Let them come in. Join with you. Share God's word. Share testimonies. Pray together. Just imagine if we learn to do that all the time. That's already a cell meeting. Is it not true? Exactly. So learn to organize these things. We must, you know, we read how Paul went from house to house. He said they were eating and sharing God's word. We shouldn't allow the pressure of the world to press us from doing what God expects us to do. Look at Jesus. We found him eating in Mary's house, eating in Zacchaeus' house, eating in Barnabas' house. Huh? Hello? That doesn't mean that you must go from one house to another and be eating. Brother Prince, I'm eating your house tomorrow. You don't have a schedule of... No, but I know you understand what I'm saying. Yes, you do. We are all God's people. You understand what I'm saying. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Try it. Let's try it. Let's try it. Let's try it. You discover that when once we do that, that affection, that love, that care, you know, that fire of love just goes burning amongst us. Oh, hallelujah. That's why the scripture says, how glorious it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's what the unity is. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So when you are visiting, like the one that will always send you out to go visit, what kind of materials do you need? You need a Bible. Thank God that the Bible has become very easy for us to carry. Now you don't have to carry that huge one. Your Bible is already in your phone. So learn to use the Bible in your phone. If you have a phone that cannot take a Bible, I'm not sure there's any phone that can take a Bible these days. Every phone is almost intelligent now. So just find out what your phone can do. If you discover that you are still holding one that can't do anything, you can bring it as a seed. I will accept. I know what to do with it. Praise God. Then you take an invitation card. See, we don't have to wait for church to print invitation cards for us. You can design something by yourself, can't you? Exactly. You are going to visit a brother or a sister or family. You can design a little card. You see, we have everything for us to do whatever thing I want to do. Go to your computer, design a little card. And you tell the person, I designed this for you to invite you to church tomorrow. The person will be excited. Huh? Yeah, little things that we'll do that brings so much joy and excitement and unwellness. There are things you may not even have to spend money on that you do that somebody will just get excited. I want to be like you. I want to follow you. It's true. You can even take a paper or take a card, and you script out something beautiful with your own handwriting. And you give it to somebody, say, I'm using this to invite you to church tomorrow. The person will be excited. See, I came to church, was it yesterday or the day before yesterday? I came to church and some of the teenagers came to me and gave me an envelope. I said, okay, what's inside? They said, a t-shirt that they have made by themselves. I was so excited about it. Huh? And I've been wearing a t-shirt. I would have worn it today. I think I actually wore one yesterday. Beautiful thing. I'm excited. So the teenagers are thinking about this and they are using their time to do this beautiful thing. I'm excited about that. Huh? Hello? So a lot of things that we can do. God wants us to be innovative. He wants us to be creative. And don't hedge everything on money. Even when money is needed, the money can come from you and through you. But the important thing is that let us learn to use what we have to get what we need to get. Pastor says everything that we'll ever need is in us. Praise God. So have invitation cards that you use to invite people. And have materials like we have the Rhapsody. And you can have a hard copy. We always have Rhapsodies here. You have Rhapsody, or you have the ministry materials that we have. CDs are there, DVDs are there. So learn to share these things. Have some copies with you when you're going for visitation. Praise God. Then one other thing that we use, I told you for visitation, I will talk about, for follow-up, number one, visitation. Okay, number two, the use of phone calls and SMS. The ways that we use for follow-up, number one is visitation. Number two is the use of phone. You see, we should never allow phone call to take the place of visitation. Everything has its own place. Some people just kind of think that after I've called you and I've sent you SMS, my follow-up is done. No, it's not true. It's not done at all. Phone call can only be used to schedule an appointment, number one, to remind somebody of the schedule of church activities, to remind the person of the activities that are going on in church. So don't use your phone call or your SMS as the one and everything for follow-up. So have you followed that person? Oh, yes, I called the person. I called him on the phone. And somebody said, I've tried several times. Go to the person's house. So when you want to follow up the person, first of all, know the person's house. Email is not enough. Phone call is not enough. SMS is not enough. Amen? Say, so thank you, Lord Jesus. And when you are making your phone calls, let it be very short, the time you spend on phone, especially when you're following up somebody. Let it be short. Let it be direct. I say use it for appointments, to schedule appointment, to remind somebody, to find out how the person is doing. So don't call somebody and talk, and the person is trying to stop, and you just go talking. So the person now drop the phone and be doing what he's doing, waiting for you to finish. I said, are you still there? Are you still there? Say, yes, I'm here. No. Let it be short. Let it be direct. Amen?
Amen.
And don't call at odd hours. So I tried to call the person in the afternoon. He was not there. So I know that by 12 midnight, he must be at home. And you're calling by 12 midnight. That's not right. That's not right. There are working hours, so call at such times. And also understand that the person might be busy at that time. So you let your call be short and direct. Let it be a warm and a warm call. Let it be that you're hanging up, the person is desiring for more. That's the way it's supposed to be. Praise God. And when you are sending a text also, don't allow your text to be too long. Oh, okay. The chat is now taking the place of text. We don't even send text, and it's just chat. The same thing. Don't stay too long just chatting with somebody, you know. You just chatting. No. You just chat a little, and you carry over. So, okay, maybe I'll talk to you again tomorrow. Oh, I'll see you tomorrow. But when you are ending, say a little prayer, even in your chat. Oh, God bless you. Oh, God direct you today. God perfects everything that concerns you today. You know, say something. Give a scripture. Praise God. Remember the importance of scriptures. Remember the power of the scriptures. Always remember it. As long as you have it, you have everything that it takes for you to make a success or follow up. Amen? Okay. And in your sending of texts, For your visitation, make sure that when you're visiting, you visit in group, at least two. Huh? Two. And you're God's people. You're God's people. We need to remind ourselves of this. The Bible said that we should flee all appearances of evil. So when you are following up, even if you are a sister, for instance, and you are following up another sister, and maybe you did not get another sister to follow you up or to follow you to go follow up, and a brother is following you, don't go and lock yourself inside the room and you are following up. No. If you want a quiet place, you can have a quiet place outside where people can see you, but they are not hearing you. You hear what I'm saying? Exactly. See, don't give, nothing may be happening, but don't give room for people to start imagining vain things, useless things. Huh? Exactly. Don't give room for that. The same thing with texts. If you're sending texts, you see, it is good for us to love one another, to express love, to say, I love you, brother, I love you, sister. I hear what I'm saying? Okay. But make sure that your texts are not filled with such amorous words. Oh, so, sister, you are sweet, sweet, sweet. No, that is wrong. You may be saying it because you just feel that that's what excites the sister. I want to make the sister come to church. But you see, understand that the sister is not yours. What I mean, it's not yours. You don't have a marital or parental authority over that sister. Are you hear what I'm saying? So, and the person that has that authority may not have an understanding of why you're writing such kind of things. So don't bring trouble to any person, please. It's very important. Very important. So let your text be filled with God's word. I know that the expression of love is part of God's love, so I can tell the sister, I love you. But when every text I send to the sister is always, I love you, sister, you know I love you. Make sure you are in church tomorrow. I want to see you because I love you. That love is not having a K leg. Say amen.
Amen.
Tell your sister close to you, I love you, sister. Praise God. Say amen.
Amen.
God has blessed us so much with a lot of social networks that we've developed in the ministry. Let's take advantage of them. Create groups. Especially with follow-up. You see, we can actually start creating transitional groups, what I call transitional groups. Groups in which only those who are supposed to follow up, and maybe some of you that are supposed to follow up that person, are within that group. You know, we are targeting this person. The purpose we are in this group is to target these other people. Maybe a group of five. Out of the five people, you are targeting three. Two of you are targeting three. You've created a group for yourself. And you are sharing in the group. You know what you want. You're sharing the group. So that you will always be on the know with everybody in that group. So if after a little while you discover that one particular person is no longer contributing, you know that something is wrong. But we need to start addressing this person quickly. You understand what I'm saying? So it's transitional. It's not a group that will remain until the person will not discover that the person is not being fully formed and you cannot transfer the person into another group. Maybe the cell group. Or maybe the PCF group or whatever other group that you may. But you see, let us start using all those, you know, the social network for beautiful things. You see, you look at our world today, see how ISIS is recruiting people through the social network. They are inviting people all around the world to come kill themselves. And people are so excited to go and kill themselves. It's true. It's true. What about us that give life? So they are giving attention to it. That's why they are getting the results they are getting. Not because people love to do what they are calling them to come do. They are convincing them. They know how to address them. They know how to catch them. They know what they like. So they are posting those things to them, bombarding their minds all the time, until their minds are corrupted enough for somebody to leave Europe and said he's going to Asia to go and kill himself. Can you imagine? But thank God that we have the Word of God. Say, thank God that we have the Word of God. And say, this Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. See, and God has equipped you with the Word, and He has equipped you with the Spirit. And you'll make a success of follow-up. Say, I'll make a success of follow-up. Hallelujah. Amen. So you use your group, that the social network groups that you have, that you are creating, use it for testimonies. Use it to pray. Use it to celebrate your birthdays. Use it for nice things. Like I said, make sure anything that is corrupting does not come out of your spirit, because there is nothing corrupting that is in your spirit. Oh, you are a child of God. You are a child of God. You are a child of God. Amen? Amen? You are a child. God has sent you results. Do all that you need to make a success of this. And God will understand that because of you, your church is growing. God will understand that when He brings people into your church and they come to meet with you, they are established in your church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes, God believes in you. Say, God believes in me. And I believe in myself. Can you imagine God coming to Gideon and say, you mighty man of valor? And that's what God is telling you tonight. God is calling your name and say, you are a mighty man of valor. So call your name. Say, Ernest, I'm a mighty man of valor. God says to me, I'm a mighty man of valor. And I'm bringing great results. Hallelujah. God brings people to you and the people will remain. God has ordained you. Jesus Christ has ordained you to bear fruits, and your fruits will remain. Say, my fruits are remaining. Say, they are staying. They have been established. They will know who they are. So what? How joyful will it be one day you see that person that you followed up, and that person has become a mighty man? Oh, glory be to God. Person is going all around preaching God's word. establishing this same message in the hearts of people. Or maybe the person has become so great and the person is financing the work of God everywhere. You'll be so excited. Isn't that true? That's the way God wants it to be. So God sees their future and he's bringing them to us for us to follow them up so that through us they will be established in the kingdom. And we'll look at them tomorrow and say, oh, thank God he used me to follow up that man, to follow up that woman. That's the way it is. And God has equipped you for success. And you are a success. Yes. Lift up your hand and speak in other tongues. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Speak in other tongues, speak in other tongues. Lay kata yalabandi yazutisalahata balandi yalandi yalandi. Lay in the yazalahata balaki yazatazalabala. Can you put this thing on? Lay in the yazutisalahata balandi yazutisalahata balanda. Hallelujah balanda. Go ahead and speak in other tongues. Go ahead and speak in other tongues. Just lift up those hands and speak in other tongues. Declare you are the light of the world. God has invested his word in you. He has invested his spirit in you. You always come back with great testimonies. Holy Gideon. Spirit in our lives. Father, we acknowledge every good thing that you've blessed us with and we make a success of this calling. Everyone, Lord, that you're bringing to us, Father, will be established in the gospel of Christ through us. In the name of Jesus. Father, we are growing. Not only are we growing in attendance, Father, we are growing in our understanding of your word. Father, we are growing in the ministration by your spirit through us. Father, we are growing in influence of your word around our communities, our cities, and our countries. Yes, Father, we are growing. Father, we are dominating every place that you have sent us to. Father, we have become great pillars of light in the places that you have sent us to. And men are coming to inquire to know the truth of life from our lips. God, this is what you have ordained us for. And we're grateful to you. Father, thank you for your love that has been established in our hearts and established in our churches, established in our midst. Yes, Father, we know what it is to love one another, to love the brethren, to love the people that you're bringing to us. Yes, Father, to honor and respect one another in true love. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Men will see us and they will know that we are different.